Okay, so we're going to start now from today's daf is Yudalid. Well, I stopped yesterday at the end of daf and daf, Shabbos daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So we started like about 4 or 5 lines from the bottom. So there, the Gemara was listing different decrees that were different gezeros that were said in this upper chamber of Hananya ben Chizkiah. So we started with some of them, and where we got to is we talked about maybe we'll start again from let's just start again from 7 lines from the bottom, the 2 dots of your Gilman base. Okay, so hold on, admitting. Okay. And again, if you're on, certainly feel free to pipe in when you're not speaking. Please put yourself on mute. So again, my ninhu, about 7 lines from the bottom. What are these? My ninhu shmona es aser davar. What are these 18 decrees? So ditnan, the Mishnah says, elu poslim es a truma. So these things render truma invalid if you touch them. Ha'ochel ochel rishon, ha'ochel ochel sheni. If you eat food that is a Rishon Latuma or a Sheni Latuma, a primary Tuma or a secondary Tuma. We will discuss today the details of all these examples. So we're going to go through them a little bit quickly. Again, a Rishon Latuma, if something is an Avatuma, let's say a Sheretz, a creepy, crawly thing, and that touches, so that's an Avatuma, that's a primary Tuma. If it touches someone, so that person is a Rishon Latuma. And if that person then touches something else, that's a Sheni Latuma. So, okay, but we'll get into the details a little bit more later on the Amo today. And then Ha'ochel, whether you eat a food that's a Rishon or a Sheni Latuma, then just, if everyone, again, if you're not talking, just put yourself on mute. And Ha'ochel, Ochel Rishon, Ochel, Ochel Sheni, and then if you either eat a Rishon or a Sheni Latuma, and then you touch Truba, then the truma becomes tame. Vishose mashkim tameim. If you drink tame liquids, then you touch truma, you're also going to make the truma tame. Vehaba roshu veruba b'mayim she'uvim. And also someone on the day that he became tame from his state. On the day that he went to the mikvah from his state of impurity. If after he went to the mikvah, he then immersed his head and the most of his body in what's called Mayim She'uvim. That's water that was drawn from a kli, from a vessel. You can only, mikvah water has to come from an underground spring, or it has to come from rainwater. But if you use a kli, a utensil, in order to, or a big vessel, a pot, whatever it is, to collect the water, so then that's called Mayim She'uvim. Again, we're going to get into details of all these cases as we continue in the daf. And also Vitahor Shadaf La Rosh of Rubo Shlosha Lugim Shemaim Shuvim. And also someone who's Tahor, that 3 Lugim of water fall on his head and most of his body, if from Maim Shuvim. All these situations, if you then touch Truma, then the Truma will become Tameh. And also Vihasefer, okay, also if a Sefer, what are the Kisvei HaKodesh? You touch it. What are the Kisvei HaKodesh? What are the holy scriptures? Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. Touches Truma, the Truma becomes, it makes the Truma Tameh. It passes, it invalidates the Truma. V'hayadayim. And also someone's hands, before they wash their, someone doesn't wash it, Tila Shadayim, and they touch Truma, it makes the Truma passel invalid. V'atvul Yom. Someone who immerses from his Tuma, from his ritual impurity, but he has not yet, it's not yet nightfall or the evening. Under some conditions, if you become tamei, so you don't become tar immediately when you go to the mikvah. You might go to the mikvah during the day, and you'll become only ritually impure at night. So if during the day you went to the mikvah and then you touched truma, so the truma will become invalid. Va'ochlim va'kelim shenitmu b'mashkim. And also food or utensils that became tameh because they touched liquids. all them can be all them will render the tuma invalid if it then touches it. Again, we're going to explain each one. Now, what's important here, we're going to see the Gemara is going to explain why all these cases make truma tame. Make truma pasul, and why all these are only rabbinically forbidden and they're not biblically forbidden. So those are two different goals when we go through each case.
According to Rabbi Art Scroll, all these listed from Shosem, Mashkin, Tameyim, the individual becomes a Sheni.
Right. Yes.
And therefore, he can be Metame Truma as a Shlishi and only Truma.
Yes. That's correct. That is correct. He doesn't even ask cover for that, right? Now, the person is considered a Sheni Latuma, a secondary when it comes to Tuma. This is all on a rabbinic level. And we're gonna explain why the Chazal, the rabbis, made decrees in all these cases. Okay. So now we're gonna go through each case. Mantana ha'ochel rishon, ha'ochel sheni, mifsal pasle, tamuye lo mitamu. Who is the author? Who is the Tana who says that if you eat food that's a Rishon Latuma, or if you eat food that's a secondary, a Sheni Latuma, then you can render Truma, you can invalidate Truma, but you don't make the Truma Tame, that it would make something else Tame, In other words, what we're saying here is that if you eat something, which is, let's say, a Rishon or a Sheni Latuma, a primary or secondary, first or secondary removed from the original source of Tuma, you can make the Truma invalid, but the Truma cannot invalidate something else. Now, in other words, what? If I touch the Truma, it would become possible. Normally speaking, if let's say I touch the, or something touches the Truma, and on a biblical level, and it makes the Truma Tame, then not only can the Truma not be eaten, but the Truma has the power to make kachim, let's say meat from sacrifices, pasul, invalid. But since these cases are only rabbinic, they make the truma pasul, but they don't make the truma tame, that can in turn make something else pasul. So the Gemara is now going to explain who Amar Rabbi Barachana Rabbi Yeshua. We're now on today's daf Yidav and Alf. It's Rabbi Yeshua Ditnan, because we're learning the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Ober Ha'ochel Rishon. Rishon, ha'ochel ochel sheni, ha'ochel ochel shlishi, ha'ochel ochel shlishi, shlishi. Rabbi Eliezer is not the author of our Mishnah, because Rabbi Eliezer holds, you are what you eat. If you eat a Rishon Latuba, you become a Rishon. You eat a Shady Latuba, you become a Shady. You eat a Shlishi Latuba, you become a Shlishi. But who's the author of our Mishnah? It's Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua Ober, Ha'ochel Ochel Rishon, Ochel, Ve'ochel Shady, Shani. If you eat a Rishon or a Shady, then you become a Shani. In other words, again, what's a Rishon? Let's say someone is a Zav, he had a seminal discharge, so he is Tameh. If the Zav then touches food, then that food becomes a Rishon, and if that food touches other food, then that will become a Sheni. So if I eat either the first food or the second food, I, according to Rabbi Yeshua, I become a Sheni, and I can invalidate Truma. But if I eat Shlishi, then I become a Sheni Lekodesh, Ve'ein Sheni Letruma. In that case, then my body becomes a Sheni if I eat a Shlishi. The Zav touches food, and that food touches the second food, and that second food touches the third food. If I eat that third food, I become a Sheni Lekodesh. What that means is, I can render the kachim, like korban meat. If I touch korban meat, I can make that pasul invalid. Ve'ein sheni letruma, but I would not make truma invalid. Okay, now and then the Gemara just continues. Bechulin shenasu al taras truma. Here we're talking about only in a situation where the individual, generally speaking, is tahor. Generally speaking, eats food, chulin food, generally in a tahor state. So therefore, so that's why it has a din of truma, that this third case, if you're someone who generally treats chulin bitara, so we have this stringency that if you have shlishi, if you eat shlishi food, so then you will render the kachim puzzle. So anyway, so the Gemara is now going to explain why do they make this decree to begin with, okay? Ha'ochel ochel rishon, va'ochel ochel shedi, my time in gozerei rabbanon tuma. So why did Rabbi Yoshua say that if I eat rishon tamei food or shedi tamei food, then if I touch truma, it becomes invalid? So the answer is the zimnim da ochel ochlin tamein. Because maybe what will happen? I'm eating tamei food, and what will I do? V'shako mashkin the truma v'shadi lepume. I'm having my cheese. And I'm having my cheese sandwich, and my cheese sandwich is tamei. And what will I do? And I'm thirsty, so I'm going to drink some truma wine. I'm going to drink some truma wine while the cheese sandwich is in my mouth. So what happens? The cheese sandwich in my mouth, which is tamei, comes in contact with the truma, and it will render it invalid. So in order to avoid that, what do we say? If I eat the then in that case it would render the truma invalid. So to avoid that possibility, we say that what if I am I if I once I have my cheese sandwich that is a rishon or a sheni lituma, it's tamei food. So there, in that instance, I am forbidden. That then, if I touch truma, I will render it invalid. And it, for a similar reason, the Gemara continues. Shosem mashkim tamei in my time of gozbe rabbanon tuma. If I'm drinking tamei wine, there's no prohibition for me to drink regular tamei wine. I'm not a kohen or whatever. I'm sorry, whatever the case is. There's no prohibition for me to drink tamei wine. Wine that became impure by someone who was whatever, that it came in contact with something tamei. There's no prohibition to drink it inherently. But why the rabbis say that if I drink this liquid, then if I touch truma, then it becomes possible, becomes invalid? Because a similar situation, the zimnim deshasa mashkim tamein v'shakel ochlin de truma v'shadi lepume. Because sometimes I might drink liquids that are tamei, and while I'm drinking my wine that's tamei, I pop a truma sandwich in my mouth, and that will render the truma invalid. Upasilah hu, that will render it invalid. And so because we want to avoid that situation, we say any time that you eat, that you drink the liquids, so therefore... therefore, it becomes it passes the truma if you touch it. So the Gemara asks, "Haidu ha? Why'd you make the same gzeros, the same decrees? One, you can learn one from the other." So the Gemara says, "No, ma'ode tema. You might have thought ha shchichi v'halo shchichi. No, that if you drink, that the fact that you might drink sometimes when you eat food, so that is something that's common, and therefore the rabbis will eat a decree, right? Sometimes we drink why to get the food down." So when we're eating, so it's common to also drink something to help get the food down. So there I'm going to say, if you eat tamei food, so there I'm going to say that we're going to make the gzeira that if you touch truma after that, then it becomes pasul, that it becomes invalid. But vaha, the other case, if someone is drinking, then he puts some food in his mouth when he's drinking, that's not common, and therefore maybe the rabbis will not make a gzeira decree because of this. Kamash Balan comes the author of Mishnah to say they made a gzeira even on this situation. And we're going to go now to the next gzeira, the next decree. Vahaba rosho verubo b'mayim sheuvim. My tabagozi rabbanon. The Gemara asked, I don't understand. What, if someone pours, for someone immerses himself in his head and most of his body with this Mayim Shuvim, drawn water, why do the rabbis make a decree that therefore you're Tamei? So Amar Rabbi B'Marav Ami, Rav Asi, I'm sorry, Shebet Chila, initially what happened? Hayu Tovlim B'Mei Ma'aros Mechu Nasim. People would immerse in cave water, but the water was collected in a way that they had 40 sa'ah of the Rashi writes, of mikvah water, that was collected water in the caves. It did not come from a kli, but they had this water. And usruchim, it stank. It was putrid. It really smelled really bad. V'hayu nosdim aleihem mayim she'uvim. So they felt gross after going to the mikvah. So what do? They took a shower, as it were. They poured water that was drawn after the tefillah in order to remove the stink of the cave water on them. Right? It's like going to the mikveh and taking a shower after, lahavdil. Right? So hitzchilu va'asa'um keva. And then the people who immersed, so then they did that not just once or twice, they did this permanently. Always after they went to the mikveh, they went to this stinky mikveh, and then they showered in Mayim Shuvim. So what happened? Gazruch aleihem tuma. Chazal said that you become tamei as a result of this. So Gemara tries to clarify. My keva, what does this mean? Just because they took their shower after this, so they immersed themselves in drawn water continue every time. Why should they therefore say you're tamei because of this? So Amar Abaye says, Shehayu omrim lo elu mitarim ala elu ve'elu mitarim. Because people then were confused and they stopped saying that only the mikveh made them tahar. But they said, not only is the mikveh making me tahar, but the mikveh and this mayim shuvim make me tahar. So the Gemara asked, Amalei Rava, my nafkamina, hakatavli bana, who cares? So they're making that mistake. So let's say every day, what do they do? Every time, what do they do? So they go to the mikveh and then they shower and they put on the mayim shuvim. So what? At the end of the day, what are they still doing? They're still going to the mikveh. So what's the problem? So Elamar Rava, so rather Rava says, Omrim lo elu, ela elu mitarim, lo elu mitarim, ela elu mitarim. What did they say? They're actually saying that they would say is, I don't know why people are going to this mikveh, this cave water. They immersed in the cave water, and then with the mayim shuvim, the drawn water, because people started saying, I don't know why we're going to using this cave water. They're saying actually, what's being metaher us? What's making us pure? Only the drawn water. And of course, then that would lead to a problem. And therefore, they said that someone who uses Mayim Shuvim immediately after going, using this mikvah becomes Tamei. So the Gemara now clarifies, what about the next Gzeira? Vitahar, Shenaflu, Al, Rosho, Verubo, Shlosha, Lugim, Mayim Shuvim, Mai Taimu, Gazu, Be, Rabbanon, Tuma. And someone who's Tahar, completely. And you pour 3 lugim of water on his head and a majority of body. Why of Mayim Shuvim? Why the rabbis make a gzeira? So the Gemara says, the Eloha lo kai baha. If you wouldn't make a gzeira about this, you wouldn't make a decree about this, then the other decree wouldn't work. In other words, people would say, I don't understand. The person who went to the mikvah, right? So he is now tahor completely. They will say what? I don't understand. Why am I just generally, if I'm generally tahor, why am I allowed to pour 3 lugim of mayim shuvim on me, but I'm not allowed to pour water on me immediately after I went to the mikvah? It doesn't make sense. So they wouldn't follow the gezerah we just spoke about if they didn't make this new gezerah. Okay, so that's why for that gzeira. Now, the next thing. V'sefer. What about a sefer, a holy scripture? Kisvei Kodesh. If Kisvei Kodesh touched Truma, so then what? My time of Gozer Be'erbon and Tuma, why the rabbis decree that the Truma is Tomei? Abba Rav Misharshia. Rav Misharshia says, Shebitchila hoyu matzimas ochlim de Truma eitzel sefer Torah. Initially, they would keep the truma food by the safe by the side of the Sefer Torah. Va'amru high kodesh v'high kodesh. What would they say? Yeah, this is my shelf for kodesh stuff, for holy stuff. So I'm going to have my truma food, and I'm going to have my holy scriptures, and I'm going to put them by the same shelves. I'm going to put them on the same shelf. What do? We have a bookcase for books, and we have a kitchen cabinets for food. But in those days, they said, no, we're going to have one shelf for kodesh stuff. So we got truma here, and we got kisvei kodesh here. What would happen? Kevan dechachazu dechachazu, they say that once they saw that the sifrei kodesh were getting ruined. Why? Because the mice would come and they would eat some of the truma food, which is obviously a problem unto itself. Would you eat the truma after the mice would eat it? But okay. So the mice would eat the food, and once they'd nibble on the food, the truma food, they would nibble on the kisvei kodesh. So it goes to be about a tumah. So the rabbis declared that the kisvei kodesh are now tame. And so the rabbis declared that if the kisvei kodesh, the holy scriptures, touch truma, then the truma becomes tamei, and therefore the people be careful and not put them on the same shelf. Next, the Gemara now talks about vehayadayim. When it comes to the hands, the rabbis declare that the hands are tamei. Mipnei shiyadayim askarios hei. Our hands are constantly touching things. We're sometimes touching dirty things. And it's not appropriate after we touch dirty things to touch truma food with unclean hands. So therefore, the rabbis decreed that before you touch truma food, you need to do netilas yadayim. Tana, af yadayim habos machma sefer. So the Braisa said, even hands that touched a sefer, holy scriptures, poslos es hatruma, to invalidate the truma when they touch it, mishum de Rabbi Pardach, because of what Rabbi Pardach said. Dami Rabbi Pardach, Rabbi Yochanan, ha'ocheis sefer Torah arom. If someone holds a sefer Torah without a cloth, nikbar arom, he is buried, unclothed. Now it's a bad thing to do that, and therefore they made this decree. So Gemara asked, arom soka dialek? What do you mean? That are you saying that this is really true? Because they make this one mistake, then they commit this one sin, therefore they're buried, unclothed without any shrouds. So Alamar of Zera, Aron below mitzvos. No, what it means is that the person is buried without mitzvos. Gemara says still, below mitzvos, so kadaydach. You mean to say that if the person commits this one sin, then he has no mitzvos? So that's a little harsh. So El Eba, Aron below also mitzvah. That you become unclothed. In other words, you're naked, meaning you don't get the mitzvah that you would have fulfilled. That if you were holding, let's say you were holding a Sefer Torah in order to study the Torah, you would not receive reward on this study if you were touching it without a cloth. So the Gemara asks, Hai Gaza Bereisha, which of these decrees did they decree first? The decree of if your hands are dirty, that are you just regular hands before you touch truba, that you need to do the tila shadayim, or the truba becomes pasul, or if did they make the gzeira about hands that touched a sefer Torah, did they make the decree there that it becomes that if your hands touch a sefer Torah, then it invalidates the truma. So ileva hagoz ibereisha, if you say that they first made the gzeira, the decree on any hands that you need to wash it, or otherwise will make the truma puzzle invalid. So then the Gemara says, now we're in the top of your Dalam base. Kevan dehach gozer bereisha. If they already made that first gezerah about your any hands, whether or not they touch the sefer, hatu lamali. You don't need the gezerah, the decree about if your hands touch a sefer Torah straight without a cloth, then it puzzles truma. If we make the gzeira that your hands in general pasul truma without washing, so then obviously the other gzeira is also included. So rather ella hakgozer bereisha v'hadar bechulo yadayim. So rather, what happened? They first made the gzeira and they said that if you touch, since it's not appropriate to touch a Sefer Torah, holy scriptures, with your hands without a cloth. So therefore, they said that if you do that, you can't touch truma. You'll passel truma unless you wash your hands. So then they made the gzera broader that any time you have to wash your hands before touching truma, otherwise you will invalidate the truma. Okay, now the Mishnah, now we're moving on. The Mishnah says, Tful Yom. If you are a Tful Yom, again, what's a Tful Yom? A Tful Yom is that you went to the mikvah during the day. But you, in that situation, the Torah says that you do not become pure, ritually pure, until the nighttime. You go to the mikvah during the day, but in that case, you won't become ritually pure to the nighttime. So you are what's called a tvul yom. You immersed, and still the daytime, and you become ritually pure to do whatever you can do at nighttime. So we say a tvul yom that touches truma renders the truma invalid. So here the Gemara is going to ask, wait a second, tvul yom doraisa hu dirsiv ubaha shemesh v'taher. Why is this a rabbinic decree? This should be the Torah. The Torah says that if you are ritually impure, and you go to the mikvah, then until nighttime, you touch truma, it would render it invalid on a Torah level. So the Gemara says, very simply, Same Mikad Tful Yom. Just erase it. You're right. That was a mistake. Okay. Now the Mishnah continues, Va'ochlim shenitmu b'mashkim. And we're saying food that became tameh with liquids render truma invalid if you touch them. So now the Gemara is going to ask, what liquids are we discussing? Bebashkim debai, what type of liquids? Ileba bebashkim habayim machma sheretz. If we're talking about liquids that come as a result of touching a sheretz is a primary truma, it's a creepy crawling insect, and that is, so if they are a creepy, or this sheretz, So that's an ava tuma, that's a primary tuma. And then if liquids touch a sheretz, so then the liquids become a rishon latuma, and therefore a rishon latuma. So I'll give you just very briefly, it took me a while to learn this and remember this. I'm still not so well versed in laws of tuma and tahara, but what I do know is that an ava tuma, a primary tuma, like a sheretz, so that makes Adam and Kalim. That can render people and utensils Tameh on a, we're talking on a Torah level. We're talking on a Torah level. And a Rishon Letuma, let's say the Sheretz, a person touches a Sheretz, or a Kli, a utensil touches a Sheretz. So the person, if the person then, which is now a Rishon Letuma, a person can make Ochlim umashkim tameh. Okay, only food and drinks can make the ochlim umashkim a sheni latuma.
This is only with a dead sheretz.
A dead sheretz. Yes, I'm sorry. Dead sheretz.
Not a live sheretz.
Correct. Thank you for clarifying that, Howie. Okay, so we're talking about a dead sheretz. Correct. Yeah, very good. Okay, so we're saying that, what are we talking about here? If we're talking about a sheretz, a dead sheretz that came in contact with the liquid. So the liquid now is a Rishon Latuma. So, and then that liquid, which is a Rishon Latuma, touches food. Doraisa Nidhu. That is a Torah prohibition. The Sheretz is the Avatuma. Touches the liquid, which is the Rishon Latuma. And the liquid, let me make this clear again. A dead Sheretz can make Adam, Kalim, Ochlim, and Mashkim. A person, utensils, food, and drinks can make all of them a Rishon Latuma. Okay? So if any of these things, a Sheretz touches any of these, any of these things touch a dead Sheretz, so they can make, they on a Torah level, they can make Ochlim and Mashkim. They can make food or drink a secondary Tuma. On a Torah level, Dixiv, as the Pasuk states in Vayikra Yudaf Labadalid, V'chol Mashke Asher Yishaseh. Okay, so in other words, we learn from this Pasuk that a liquid that is found in a Kli Cheres that became Tameh from a Sheretz becomes Tameh, and the food that touches the liquid becomes a sheni letuma, becomes a secondary tame on a Torah level. So now we're asking again, what is our Mishnah's case of ochlim shenitmu b'mashkim that become tame only on a rabbinic level? So the Gemara answers the following. Ella, rather, what are we talking about? B'mashkin haba'im machmas yadayim. We're talking about liquids that became tame because of your hands. What did we say just previously? Your hands are treated as tame on a rabbinic level. Your hands are dirty, right? If you don't wash your hands and you touch liquids, so then the liquids become a rishon on a rabbinic level. And why is that? And then the liquids. So now it's your hands, which are dirty, touch liquids. The liquids become a rishon on a rabbinic level and make foods tame on a secondary level, all rabbinically. Why is that? Gezeira mishum mashkim haboy machva sheretz. It's a decree because we're concerned that you're going to make a mistake and you're going to forget that a situation where a sheretz touches, a liquid touches a dead sheretz, a liquid touches a dead sheretz, then that liquid will make foods tame on a Torah level. So therefore, we say that on a rabbinic level, if your hands touch liquid, then that liquid will make foods tame and it would make the truma invalid on a rabbinic level. Okay. The next case, v'hakelim shenitmeu b'mashkim, and kelim, utensils that became tame from a liquid. So the Gemara is going to ask, similar to what we asked before. Kalim de itamu b'mashkim demai. So these kalim that became tame, what type of liquid did they become tame with? Ile b'mashkim de zav. We're talking about the liquids of a zav, someone who has a type of discharge. So de oraisa ninhu. So let's say a zav who has this discharge, and as a result of the discharge, he becomes a zav. And now if he spits, so his spit, and let's say his spit touches kalim, so then doraisa ninhu. These kalim become tamei on a Torah level. Dichsiv, v'chi yarok hazav batahor. And then and then the kibes begav rok has b'mayim tamei on aref. So if a zav spits on something tahor, on let's say clothing or whatever, so any type of kalim. Kalim doesn't only mean utensils, it could also mean clothing. So then you have to immerse the clothing because in a mikvah, because the clothing becomes tame. So what do we see from here? That the spittle of a zav and any liquid that comes from a zav is considered an av hatuma. So normally speaking, what do we say? That if we normally say the thing itself is an avatuma, and then let's say whatever that thing touches something else, the next thing becomes only a rishon. So we're saying by a zav, not only is the zav an av hatuma, but also the liquid that comes from the zav himself, like rok, like spittle, also urine. So all those things are also an av hatuma. So therefore, right, we see Masha Biyad Tahor Timei Silach. So we're saying that which is in the hand of the Tahor, I made impure to you. In other words, we're saying that it would render the clothing puzzle on a Torah level. So now we're asking what's the case where we say that the liquid would make a kli puzzle only on a rabbinic level. Ella, rather, the Mishnah is dealing with what? Mashkim haboim machmas sheretz. We're not talking about liquids that come from a zav, because they would be an avatuma, and then they would render the kalim tamei on a Torah level. Rather, we're talking about what? A sheretz, a dead insect. Okay? So that is an avatuma. Liquids touched this dead sheretz. What are the liquids? A rishon letuma. Normally speaking, a rishon letuma cannot make kalim, cannot make your clothes tame. Rather, the rabbi said it will make your clothes Tame on a, I'm sorry. Right, yeah. It will make your clothes tame on a rabbinic level. Why did they make this gzeira? Same situation as previously. Gzeira mishum mashkim dezav. So they said it's a gzeira because of mashkim dezav. They made a gzeira because, just like, they're going to get confused. That because the liquids coming from Azav make Kalim Tameh on a Torah level, so too we're going to say that that liquids that touch Azav will make Kalim Tameh on a rabbinic level. Okay, the Gemara now is going to return when we talked about Stam Yadayim. Okay, so this is like a little crash course that we just had in Tuman Tahara. I just want to let you know, I know it a little better, but that I knew before, but it takes a while to get the hang of the rules. So if this is your first time learning the Tuma Tahara rules, it just it'll take a while, but we'll get there. Okay, now we're returning to the laws of Stam Yadayim, that pasal the Truma, that when we said that your hands that are dirty, that touch Truma, render the Truma invalid. So the Gemara asks, V'yadayim tamidi shami v'hilo gazer, do we mean to say that this was a decree by the students of Shammai and Hillel, right? That's what the Mishnah said, that the students of Shammai and Hillel gathered in the upper chamber of, was it Hananiah ben Chizkiah, right? So the students gathered. So it seems that they only made this decree. Who made the decree? The students made the decree. Is it true the students made the decree? But is that true? Shammai ben Hillel gazer, the Tanya. That we see that Shammai and Hillel themselves made the gzeira, and I'll prove it to you. There's a braisa which says the following: Yosef ben Yehuezer each tereda veYosef ben Yochanan each Yerushalayim gazru tuma al eretz amim. That Yosef ben Yehuezer from tereda, Yosef ben Yochanan from Yerushalayim, they decreed that all the lands outside Eretz Yisrael become tame. Why? They said it would become tame because maybe, you know, we Jews are careful to bury our dead in cemeteries. The people outside Eretz Yisrael are not so careful. So anywhere you walk, there could be someone buried there. That's the gzera they made back in the days. And the other Rishonim say that people engaged in infidelity. And what would happen? They'd have relations with someone, and they wouldn't take birth control, and they would get pregnant, and then they would bury fetuses. And they would abort, and they would bury fetuses all throughout the land, and therefore they made this decree that the land outside Israel is tameh. Whether it applies now is a separate conversation. I think people are generally more lenient, but it's a separate conversation. Al klei zechuchis, they made a decree that glass utensils, so they cannot become tameh from the Torah, but they made a rabbinic decree. We will discuss that in a few dapim. Shimon ben Shatach tikein ksuba leisha. Shimon ben Shatach decreed, he made legislation, that a woman, not that a woman gets a ksuba, that we know, that's min ha-Torah, or chazal, that's actually a debate here, but there's a debate whether ksuba is from the Torah or not. But certainly, there was an original law, either from the Torah or from the rabbis, that a woman who gets married, so she gets a ksuva worth 200 zuz if she is a besula, if she is a virgin, or if she's not a besula, then 100 zuz if he dies or he divorces her. But originally, this obligation was not secured on any property. So the husband can make a, the husband could, you know, say, okay, here's this document that I owe you this money if we get divorced, but if it's not secured on any property, so then what teeth does this obligation have? So Shimon Shatach said that all, he wrote on the ksuva, that all of his property serves as, he's pledging all his property to pay off this debt. So if he has any property, so when he divorces her, so or when he dies, it goes to fulfill the terms of the ksuva. Gazar tuma klei matachos. They made a decree of tuma on metal utensils. Again, we're going to see in Daf Tezayin what types of metal utensils we are talking about. Now, Shammai v'Hillel, for our purposes, Shammai v'Hillel gazru tuma al yadayim. So this Brisa says that Shammai and Hillel made a decree of Tumah on Stam Yadayim, on hands that are unclean. So I don't understand. How do we say that it's the students who made this decree if Shammai and Hillel themselves made the decree? And the Gemara asks, if you want to say Shammai v'siyato v'hilo v'siyato, that maybe when it says Hillel and Shammai, it doesn't mean Hillel and Shammai, it means their students, right? Hillel and Shammai with their students. The Ha'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shmona Asar Davar Gazru V'Shmona Asar Nechleku. The Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel that they made 18 decrees on that day, and they debated about 18 things on that day. V'ilo Hillel v'Shammai lo nechleku ela b'shlosha. Hillel and Shammai themselves only argued on three things. Isn't that fascinating? We think that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are arguing all the time, but Hillel and Shammai themselves only argue on in three places. The Marfuna b'shlosha makos nechleku, that only with respect to three places. And we'll see again next tomorrow's daf. That's what those three places are. The two lower, they didn't argue anymore. So if Hillel and Shammai only argued on three places, so this Mishnah, which says, or at least the way Shmuel understands, that on this day there were 18 debates between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so that cannot refer to Hillel and his students and Shammai and their students. Because when Hillel and Shammai were alive, they only argued on three things. So we have to be referring to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So now we're still left with the question: why is it that the Mishnah says that at this time there were, that all of a sudden now they enacted this gezerah that Stam Yadayim, that just regular hands, are considered tamei, are considered ritually impure? That Shammai and Hillel made the decree earlier. So the Gemara wants to suggest more. V'chitev, if you want to say, Asi inu v'gazer litlos v'asa tamidayu v'gazer liyisrof, maybe Hillel and Shammai only said, not that if your hands touch truma, that you have to burn them. See, what happens? If you touch, let's say you touch truma, okay, and your hands are tamei. So there could be at least two consequences. One consequence is what? That, oh my gosh, the truma, if you touch the truma, you're not allowed to eat it. A more severe situation would say that what? Not only are you not allowed to eat it, but you also have to burn it. See, a safe way could be, halachically, a safe way could be, you know, on a Torah level, right? If your hands touch truma, on a Torah level, that's glatt kosher truma. And I can make the argument that how can you say that you should be allowed to burn it? How can you burn truma that on a Torah level is valid? So maybe Shammai and Hillel, all they said was, we have these concerns about your hands being dirty and touching truma. So all we're going to say is what? That litlos, that you can't eat it, but you're not allowed to burn it. And then the students, they strengthened the gzeira, and they said that you also have to burn it. So maybe that's what happened. So the Gemara says, no, Bahamar Ilfa said, Yadayim tchila gzeirasa lisreifa. Ilfa said that they made their gzeira to burn it from the beginning. In other words, there was no prior gzeira beforehand. There was no gzeira initially, let's just be tola it. Let's simply not eat it, and they strengthened it to burn it. They made the gzeira, you know, from nothing. So Ella Rav, the Gemara answers, Asu inhu v'lo kiblu minayhu v'asu tamidayhu. Rather, what happened? Hillel and Shammai made this decree, and people didn't listen. It wasn't accepted. It wasn't accepted by Klal Yisrael, this decree. Not every gzeira, not every decree that Chazal instituted were accepted. Sometimes they made gzeiros, and they thought that these were reasonable gzeiros, and they were accepted. And sometimes they made gzeiros, and by the way, that's when it takes hold. And that's when it takes hold and lasts for however long it lasts. Sometimes they would make gzeiros and it wouldn't take hold. This is an example where Hillel and Shammai made a gzeira and it did not take hold. But their students came and they made a gzeira and it did take hold. And the Gemara still asks, Vakati, I have another still. Shlomo Gazar. Shlomo, why are you telling me that, oh, Hillel and Shammai were the first ones to make a gzeira? Or Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were the first to make a gzeira? Shlomo HaMelech, who lived much earlier, he made a gzeira. On Stam Yadayim, Damar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Bisha Shetike, Shlomo Eruvin. At the time when Shlomo, he made a takana regarding Eruv, about Eruve Chatzeros. So that essentially, what's Eruve Chatzeros? That you can't carry on Shabbos from, let's say, my house to your house, unless we do an Erev Chatzeros, we take a piece of bread to join our houses together, or to go to a to carry from, let's say, I have a house, you have a house, and we have a common courtyard, so we do something to join us together. I guess that's a topic unto itself. Why we have, essentially, I'll just very briefly, I guess, that if I have a house and you have a house and we have a common courtyard, so my house is a Rishus HaYachid, your house is a Rishus HaYachid, the courtyard itself is a Rishus HaYachid, a private domain, the concern is that because it's a common courtyard, where someone may think, oh, if I can carry from there to this common courtyard, I can carry from my house to Rishus Aram, to a public domain. So we do think, we do something, like we collect a piece of bread, we join everyone together in order to create this kind of impression that we're all really one unit and it's all a private domain. So that's a separate discussion. But in any case, for our purposes, it says here that Shlomo Melech, he decreed Netilas Yadayim. He decreed Netilas Yadayim. And Yotze Basko Vamra, Bini Im Chacham Libecha Yismach Libi Gamadi. He said, my son, if your heart is smart, I'm also smart. And Chacham Bini Vesamach Libi Vashiva Chorfai Davar, that again, we're happy for his smart Gzeros. But we see the smart piece. So we see what? We see that Shlomo HaMelech made the Gzera. So rather, what happened? The Gemara answers, Asa, we'll turn the page for the last line in Tesvav and Aleph, Asa Shlomo v'gazar l'kachim. Shlomo HaMelech did not make as serious a decree. He said, I don't want my hands touching, your hands are filthy. He said, it's not appropriate that your hands should touch kachim. We're more strict with kachim than truma. Kachim, again, are like sacrificial meat, like carbon meat. We're more strict with that than truma, the food that can only be eaten by the Kohen. So Shlomo made the decree regarding kachim, and then va'asu inu, and then Shamin Hillel and their students came, v'gazer af the truma. So they even said it's not appropriate for your dirty hands to touch truma, and therefore they made the decree even with respect to truma. Okay, tomorrow, I'm sorry, everyone, you're on your own. Okay? But we will reconvene.